Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we do a comprehensive week in review. There is so much that happened. We talk stimulus. We talk AOC. We talk Bernie. We talk Biden. We talk Zoom. We talk who's essential, who's not essential. This is the most comprehensive one-stop shop of what's happening in the world here on the Charlie Kirk Show, all through a pro-American conservative lens. Before we go any further, please type in the Charlie Kirk Show, your podcast provider, and hit that subscribe button. Please. We need you guys to do this. Joe Biden is beating us in the podcast charts. If every person listening to this podcast right now typed in the Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider and did something that costs no money, hit subscribe and give us a 5-star rating and leave us a review, we would surge in the charts. I want us to beat Joe Biden. I believe in the power of beating Joe Biden. Please help us get there. Type in Charlie Kirk Show, hit subscribe, give us those 5-star reviews. This is your home of pro-American conservative commentary, what's happening in the world. Buckle up, everyone. It's a great show. And email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of the Charlie Kirk Show. We hope your quarantine is going well. Thank you for taking a break from watching Tiger King, from watching Jack Ryan. I actually just got into Jack Ryan. I was always a Tom Clancy fan growing up, and I kind of stumbled backwards. I never had used Amazon's streaming platform. Actually, I'm not a fan of Amazon at all. But anyway, I started to watch Jack Ryan. It's actually really good. And I can't get over the fact they keep on calling Jim from The Office Jack. It's Jim. It's like once you're so used to a character in a certain role, so hard to break out that character from that mold. It's, you know what it's kind of like? It's kind of like when I go back and watch all the old Steve Carell movies. I think to myself, why is Michael from The Office a 40-year-old virgin? Can't get over that. Anyway, I hope you guys, thank you for taking a very good break from that. It's unhealthy, the amount of streaming consumption that is happening out there. But I want to do a comprehensive review of everything that's happened this week. There's been so much news out there. There's actually been a lot that's been buried. We're going to go through Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and probably the dumbest statement that I have heard in the history of biology. It's really amazing. We're going to talk about Biden and Bernie. Yes, they're actually still out there. It seems Biden has created some form of bunker to quarantine himself and also blast out his confused communications. The chances that Hunter and Joe are not back-channeling to the Chinese right now, the chances are higher that Elizabeth Warren is 100% Native American. Let's just put it that way. We're also going to go over just some basic coronavirus data, and also we're going to talk about Zoom. Should everybody be using Zoom? There's a huge, let's just say, volume of people using Zoom. But first, I want to get into this whole question. I keep on hearing on TV and on radio and on certain podcasts, well, only essential workers are allowed to go to work. And we kind of had this whole debate every couple years when there's a government shutdown. And we always ask ourselves, well, what's an essential government worker? And I always laugh during government shutdowns when government workers are furloughed and they say, well, only essential workers should go to work. I say, well, if they're not essential, why do they have that job in the first place? That's a very fair question to ask when it comes to the government shutdowns. However, when it comes to economic shutdowns, when things are dealt in voluntary transactions, not compulsory transactions like they are in the government, the question should be, what is exactly essential? So let's just take a super easy example. I guess we all agree that surgical masks are essential right now, right? Surgical masks are absolutely essential. But how dare we, playing central planner for a day, try to prescribe every single piece of human being that might be involved in the creation, marketing, fulfillment, and distribution of that N95 mask. Now, I'm of course talking about the economic explanation that Milton Friedman used to make in The Pencil. He used to say so brilliantly when he would hold up a pencil, he'd say, well, look at this pencil. Look at all the labor it took within the pencil. The mining of the graphite, the distribution, the marketing, the placement within a store, the purchase, the consumer getting to the store, the car that consumer might have drove to the store, and the purchase of that car and the filling of the gas. You're talking about millions and millions of jobs invisibly and harmoniously working together to create something without anyone, without them actually knowing they're working together. This is the invisible hand. So how many quote-unquote non-essential people are actually working on an essential product that all of us need? Let's just take the mask. Well, the cloth had to be produced with raw materials, likely cotton. So that cotton had to be extracted somewhere. Let's say that it was extracted from America. There was cotton that had to be harvested, that had to be planned out, a supply chain that had to be created. There was a truck driver that had to drive that cotton somewhere. Once that cotton was harvested, it had to be transported to a facility on roads that have to be maintained with regularity, with gas stations that have to be continually replenished, with meals that that truck driver had to eat from a supply chain completely unrelated to the one that he was actually participating in. Remember, those gas stations have to be staffed. They have to be cleaned, and they have to be kept up by employees. And then those employees have to go buy products so that they can keep on living. Maybe they have to get drugs from their local pharmacy. We go back to the actual mask assembly. That mask has to be made in a big manufacturing facility, hopefully in America. Unfortunately, we're learning that it's not always being made in America, but some are. Maybe that manufacturing facility in America, the lights have to be kept on. It has to be made sure that there aren't looters coming at night by police officers. But those police officers, maybe a single mother police officer was protecting the N95 masks from being stolen in the middle of the night. And the only reason she was able to protect it is because she hired a nanny to be able to babysit her daughter because she couldn't go to school so she could protect the N95 masks. What I'm talking about is who's actually essential. We are displacing millions of workers right now saying that they're not essential. How dare we say that? Through what edict and command from God Almighty are we saying that people are essential and not essential? To the plumber out there that we're saying, oh, you're not essential. Well, maybe you're about to fix a plumbing fixture for a facility that is making hand sanitizer so that our nurses can keep on doing their job. For the individual that might be working on a truck stop and we're shutting down that truck stop, so that truck driver might have to drive hours before being able to stop. Are we trying to say those people are non-essential? Every single person throughout the economy in some way is essential. Do you know how I make that argument? In voluntary transactions, they would not have a job if they were not essential. And so I don't want to ever hear again, well, we only can let essential workers go back to work. Well, first of all, we are seeing right now in front of our very eyes the destruction of human dignity when you take people's work away. You are seeing disruption in the cultural and family backbone of America. Our church is not essential. We talked about this in a previous episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. Are synagogues not essential? Are people's connection to the divine and the ultimate not essential? We are dealing with very consequential and dangerous choices. By the way, every single person that you might think is non-essential. Like, oh, football players aren't essential. Baseball players aren't essential. Let's just leave them aside. What about the person that has worked 40 years at Wrigley Field that might be on the verge of suicide right now because they don't have the one thing that kept them going? A friend of mine went to a movie theater in Arlington, Virginia, and he was the only person in the movie theater before they shut down all the movie theaters down 3 weeks ago. And he gave a very big tip to the one movie theater operator that was there. It was one of those movie theaters where you go in and you order food, and they'll bring food to your seat. And he said to the guy, I'm a recovering alcoholic. This job has given me so much dignity. Thank you for coming in tonight. Thank you. He said, I don't know if I'm personally going to make it if they shut this place down. Well, they shut it down. So as we try to play God and say some things are essential and aren't, we should not use that language. Instead, we should say every worker is essential, and we are shutting down essential parts of the economy to try to save lives. Be honest. You know what also? It's so demeaning when you tell a worker that they're not essential. Do you know how big of an insult that is to someone that's worked their whole life to do something that is quite honestly life-giving to others? I mean, it might be silly to some people where they say, oh, yeah, well, golf is not essential. Like, okay, maybe, maybe not. But maybe for the workers it is. Maybe for the people that were relying on that wage are not part of the 10 million people that are unemployed, maybe they are essential. So I challenge every single person out there to not use that language and to look more holistically at the economy and the millions and tens of millions and hundreds of millions of inputs of how we all work in harmony. All Americans are essential. Stop this winner and loser, I'm going to pick who's better than the other person games being played by the ruling class and the politicians. For those of you listening to this podcast that are out of work, I hear you. I read your emails that you guys email us at freedom@charliekirk.com. I listen to your anxieties. I am getting countless messages a day from people on my Instagram, on my Twitter, from business owners pleading for the economy to reopen, begging for the green light to come back. It makes me angry that the economy is closed. I understand why the president is doing it. I'm in support of his actions. But it also gives me hope for one thing. I'm going to tell you why I have hope that Americans are reacting the way they are in just one second. But first, what do companies like Ring, Hint, and Tecovas all have in common? They all use NetSuite to accelerate their growth. Successful companies know that in order to grow faster, you must have the right tools. If you want to take your company from $2 million to $10 million or $10 million to hundreds of millions in revenue, NetSuite by Oracle gives you the tools to turbocharge your growth. It's an amazing, amazing program. You guys have got to check it out. With NetSuite, you get a full picture of your business, finance, inventory, HR, customers, and more. It's everything you need to grow, all in one place. Run your entire business from anywhere. Even if you're working from home, with NetSuite, you're covered. NetSuite will give you the visibility and control you need to make the right decisions and grow with confidence. That's why NetSuite customers grow faster than the S&P 500. NetSuite is the world's number one cloud business system, trusted by more than 20,000 companies. It's the last system we'll ever need. So right now, schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Kirk. 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 So let me tell you why I'm actually happy with Americans' anger and unease. It proves we are not France. Now, I'm going to say this as delicately as I can to my European friends, but quite honestly, I don't care if I offend socialist Europeans. It's not exactly what I worry about. I have a lot of friends in Europe. I speak to a lot of business people in Europe. There is not the same unease or yearning to get back to work in Italy or France. There's an ease to be let out of buildings, but no work? Hey, that sounds wonderful. Where do I sign up for that? I actually love the fact that Americans are restless, bustling, and they want to get back into the marketplace. This is a good sign for the fabric of our country. That shows that we are a merit-based society. This shows that we are a country that still wants to focus on productivity, that still wants to focus on earned success. That Americans don't want $1,300 put into their bank account from the government. That Americans don't want to be put on the unemployment rolls and make more money off work than they're getting while they're working. That actually tens of millions of Americans are just saying, please let me go back to the thing that you think I hate. Please let me go back to waking up at 5:30 in the morning and sitting in traffic. Please, I want to go back to traffic. Let me go sit back in traffic. Please. Let me go back to hating Mondays. I want to go back to hating Mondays. Please, I want to go back to my crummy vending machine lunch. Please, I want to go back to having to pick up my kids after school and they're irritable. I will do anything to be able to go back to only have 2 days a week that I have off. This is a good sign. Now, it could turn really bad really quickly, but it's a good sign that we as Americans are not saying to our politicians, this is great. Let's keep this going. Can we have permanent shutdown? See, in France, they basically take the entire month of August off. In a lot of pseudo-socialist and totally socialist countries, they have pounded down the ambition and pounded down the aspiration of a country. It's still there. And the Chinese have not stolen that from us. Yes, they've taken trillions of dollars away from us. Yes, they've destroyed our purchasing power and we're going to see inflation. Yes, they're going to kill tens of thousands of Americans through this virus. All of that is yes, 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 yes. But the one thing they have not stolen from us is they have not stolen our dreams, our wants, our ambitions, and our entrepreneurs. Don't let them take that from us, because that would be the greatest loss to our country. I'm talking to pastors that want nothing more than to go back to the toughest parts of being a pastor. They want to go back to shepherding people through not wanting to commit suicide, drug usage, infidelity, on the verge of death, giving, essentially administering last rites. I know people that want to go back to difficult jobs in the 115 degree Phoenix summer heat, which is just right around the corner. What does that say about who we are? It says that the socialists have not won. Yes, the collectivists got a lot of their wish lists through in this latest way too big, mostly garbage, some good, mostly garbage stimulus bill, which we talked about in depth in a previous episode, which has been honestly one of the most positively ranked episodes we've ever done. Most positive feedback of anything we've ever done at the Charlie Kirk Show. But the socialists might have won the policy debates with universal basic income, but they have not destroyed the morale of America. So despite all the negativity you might be hearing, it gives me hope that when we say, lights, camera, action, ladies and gentlemen, start your engines, first pitch, let's play some football, I'll think of more metaphors as the show goes on, America will run back to productivity quicker than any other country in the world. If we get back to work in 30 days or less from this point forward, we will be in a better position globally than ever before. And there is a lesson that I hope that America takes from this. I hope America takes from this similar lessons to 9/11. 9/11, I remember exactly where I was. I was in second grade. I remember I was in Mrs. Drost's class. I heard first from a friend of mine, Alex Silverberg, as he walked into the second grade class and he said, the World Trade Center has hit, America's under attack. And our lives were never the same from that moment forward. After that, flying on an airplane was never the same, and it's never the same today, 19 years later. Shipping something around the world was not the same. Getting into America was not the same. They created a new federal bureaucracy, the Department of Homeland Security. Our civil liberties were never the same. In fact, we spied on the President of the United States, Donald Trump, based on a Patriot Act FISA court resolution that came post 9/11. So there's a lot of negatives that came out of it. But still to this day, it is into the ethos, into the consciousness, into the conversation of our country. And even when I talked to Congressman Crenshaw at a previous episode of the Charlie Kirk Show, and I encourage you to do it, his argument, we have to make sure another 9/11 doesn't happen, because that's how tragic that was. Well, now more Americans have died of the Chinese coronavirus than died on that horrible day of 9/11. More people are going to die based on even the most basic projections of the Chinese coronavirus than died fighting in the war on terror. We have lost more wealth because of the Chinese coronavirus than we spent fighting the endless stupid wars in Iraq and most of the conflict in Afghanistan. Wow. And it's only been a month and a half. So I hope after this, the lesson is built in the consciousness and the ethos. And I hope that 2 years from today, 5 years from today, when we're looking at a clothing item that we get on Christmas, when we're looking at a sweatshirt that we get on our birthday, the first thing we do is we look at the label. And we, of course, say thank you for the gift. But if it says those three words, we think of the tens of thousands of Americans that died. And we think of the trillions of dollars of wealth that disappeared. And we think about the people committing suicide right now because of the Chinese that are never coming back. It's blood money. It's what it is. I hope that kind of change happens. I'm skeptical because the difference between radical Islamic fundamentalism that we push back against, that Americans have still been woken up to 19 years later, and our unholy alliance with China, is that for radical Islamic fundamentalism that we push back against, we weren't buying hundreds of billions of dollars of goods from the Kandahar Valley in Afghanistan. We did eventually become energy independent. That's now being put into jeopardy. But the point being is we need to push back against that unholy alliance. As I mentioned, there was that massive stimulus bill that passed last week. And I was so fed up with so much of it. And so that's why I wrote an op-ed for Fox, and I'm trying to lead a movement within Congress, within law, with lawmakers, trying to push for a student stimulus. And this is a reminder before I get into it that this episode is brought to you by NetSuite.com. NetSuite has amazing program and package. Go to NetSuite.com/Kirk. That's NetSuite.com/Kirk. Now, I talk about the student stimulus. Why is it that there's a 24 million person population in America that has no representation in Washington, D.C.? Did you know, for all the college students out there that are listed as dependents for your parents, even though you might be working, you're not getting any of that quote-unquote free money from the government when they redistribute it? You're not getting that money. You're just not. So how is it that the students were so left out of the stimulus? So that's why I call for a student stimulus. So two basic things that colleges need to do and one basic thing that Congress needs to do. But first, let me read from the article that really resonated with people. And Glenn Beck said this on his program. Quote, "Let's be clear. The amount of disappointment and frustration I have for what Congress has done with this $2.2 trillion legislation is almost too much to express. After all, I popularized the phrase, quote, big government sucks. I'm now forced to acknowledge I live in a world where my fellow citizens believe big government solves. I'm not saying we shouldn't have done something given the magnitude of the crisis, but right now I'm not sure how we return conservatives to our first principles of balanced budgets and limited government." And it's true. I mean, I can't tell you how disappointed I am that illegal immigrants and migrant resettlement got $350 million. Kennedy Center, $25 million. PBS NPR combined $75 million. The unemployment provisions are garbage in the bill. People could end up making more money on unemployment than actually being gainfully employed. So in the student stimulus, I basically argue for this, and I love your thoughts. Please email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Number one, full refund of all room and board of fees for every day the students were forced off campus. Now, do you know that most students did not start their spring semester till mid or late January? A lot of colleges did not get back in a full swing until mid or late January. A lot of students were sent home from school February 15th, and they were closed completely. And do you know that a lot of colleges have not refunded room, board, and fees? So basically, colleges have taken money away from the students, offered no service for food, for lodging, and they're keeping that money. By federal statute, any university that gets federal government money, taxpayer money, your money, my money, should be required to refund room and board to every single student completely and in full. Number two, a total and complete tuition freeze for every university that receives federal government money, which is all of them basically in the entire country, for the next 2 years. Easy and simple. The cartel, the colleges need to be challenged. Number three, lift the limit on how interest of student loans can be deducted. Why do we allow a mortgage interest deduction, but we don't have an unlimited cap on a student loan interest deduction? It's nonsense. It's wrong. We need to get a student tax cut like we do to have a mortgage interest deduction. It would be a tax cut and put more money in the pockets of students so that they could do more with their disposable income. I'm going to be pushing for this student stimulus with lawmakers. I'm trying to work with the White House on this. They have their plate very full. But if they can deliver this, and just to clarify, earlier I said that mortgages do not have a limit. They do. It's just the limit is much higher than the student loan deduction. So at least make it even that you could deduct what you can off your mortgage interest, that what you can with your student loans. Students are in need of support right now. Why do transnational corporations that levered themselves up to the sky, that borrowed money recklessly and endlessly, why do they get some form of a bailout? Yet students, the backbone of the next generation, college graduates, why don't they get a bailout? Why do colleges with $40 billion endowments continue to raise tuition on the backs of students? The answer is they shouldn't. It's time to push back. It's time to fight back. It's time to hold them accountable. It's time for a student stimulus. So I told you guys I was going to get into Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez today. And my goodness, look, I don't expect brilliance from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I don't expect breakthroughs. But I also have tried to say, okay, she's a member of Congress. At some point, the Richter scale of stupidity has got to stop being broken, okay? So she tweeted something that I don't think she's retracted this, has she? She hasn't corrected this. It's quite amazing. I've told you before on the Charlie Kirk Show, and remember, just as your reminder, this show is brought to you by NetSuite.com, NetSuite.com/Kirk. Great program. Check it out. I've told you before on the Charlie Kirk Show in previous episodes, and please go back in the archives and download other episodes. The left is obsessed with race. We as conservatives are obsessed about the future of our country. The left is obsessed with race. They want racial division in our country. They want black people against white people. They want Hispanics versus white people. They are disturbingly obsessed with race. They want a hyphenated America. We just want America. We want a country that represents its citizens. They want a country that divides its citizens. So here was AOC's tweet, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She says the following: COVID deaths are disproportionately spiking in black plus brown communities. Why? Because the chronic toll of redlining, environmental racism, wealth gap, etc., are underlying health conditions. Inequality is comorbidity. COVID relief should be drafted with a lens of reparations, end quote. So, first of all, there's no racial data yet available on the Chinese coronavirus. All we know is that it kills more men than women. That's what we do know. So, for all of you that argue for a patriarchy, the virus seems to be awfully anti-man. So, all of you women that want to become men, maybe you should think twice about that. You might actually survive this awful killer virus with a higher likelihood. When we called it the Chinese virus, remember, we were told that it's racist. The viruses know no ethnicity. This is a colorblind pathogen and phenomenon. But now, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says that, no. It actually, the virus is a white supremacist. That's basically the argument she's making. The virus is actually an instrument of global white supremacist ambitions. Hey, AOC, tell that to the communities after community in the country of poor white Americans with comorbidities that served our country overseas that are dying from this right now. There's no data to support what you're saying. None. Zero. Nothing. Yet you're trying to make this argument. I don't even know what it is. This statement that the virus is some form of the Passover, where the killer virus passes over the homes of white people because it sees white skin and only goes into the homes of black people and brown people. You have outdone yourself, Professor Cortez. You've outdone yourself. Bernie Sanders just released his priority for another virus relief package. I'm sure that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez will support this. By the way, I was enjoying commentary because I hadn't said AOC's name in quite some time. But she got pushed up into the show deck here. And by the way, there's plenty of things we could be talking about. And I do have to say, we have not heard how the Chinese virus impacts the other 57 genders yet. I want to know if kaliogender is disproportionately affected. Or is it 107 genders? We have to ask Brown University. Anyway, back to Bernie. He just released his priority for another virus relief package. It includes $2,000 to everyone in the country, including illegals. By the way, can we just use this as a time to deport the illegals? Can we just do it right now? It would make our country safer. It would make our country better. I mean, why are the hospitals clogged? And by the way, I just have to, but yeah, shout out to Tucker Carlson here. And I have to say, why is it that all of a sudden we're acting like hospitals have never been packed before? Flashback, and Mr. Producer was there. He drove me to the hospital. I had an awful back attack. In fact, my back attack was so bad, I thought that I was actually having a blood clot. That's how bad it was. I went to the hospital. Mr. Producer heroically drove me. Thank you. We'll never forget it. And I was a mess. I couldn't even sit up. I had to be horizontal. I was in so much pain. In the hospital, they were a bunch of jerks, by the way. We finally found some nice people at Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles, supposedly one of the nicer hospitals. And we get in there, and to say it was jam-packed would be the understatement of the century. I mean, it looked like a New York subway, or it looked, I mean, it was so unbelievably jam-packed. In fact, it was so jam-packed, get this, and they had ran out of beds. Sound familiar? This was January of 2019, a year and a couple months ago. It was so jam-packed, and I could not sit in the chair without physically shaking. And Mr. Producer will attest to all this. Here you will. I was a mess. I was in so much pain because my sciatic nerve and essentially my L4 disc was pushing so far up against my sciatic nerve. My left leg was shaking violently. So I had to lay down. And I told the front desk this at the hospital, the urgent care desk, because I thought I was having a blood clot, saying, I need to lay down. I need to lay down. They said, we don't have anything for you. So you know what I did? I walked outside of the hospital and laid down on a park bench till I was ready. That's how few beds Cedars-Sinai had back in January 2019. So cut out this revisionist garbage that these hospitals did not build the surge capacity. They didn't. They could have done this. They didn't. And so they finally came out to me and they said, well, Mr. Kirk, we're finally ready to treat you. They came out to me while I was laying on a park bench outside with no bed treatment at all. So cut out this nonsense, cut out this garbage that hospitals have always been wonderfully staffed and always perfectly in place for something like this. Bernie Sanders also wants Medicare for all. Why don't we just totally destroy our healthcare system while we're at it? Increasing more food stamps, cancel all student debt, and make college tuition free. This is all just a socialist, collectivist, statist power grab. The left will never let a crisis go to waste. They're doing everything they possibly can to use this crisis to infuse their leftist, collectivist, anti-American, anti-Western, anti-Christian agenda. The left never wants a crisis to go to waste. Why are we treating these policies with any sort of platform at all whatsoever in the middle of this crisis? Well, speaking of Bernie Sanders, did you know he's still running for the presidency? Speaking of which, Joe Biden, I guess, is still running for the presidency. Joe Biden should be referred to as Joe China. So here's the playbook for President Trump to get reelected. Treat China like Al-Qaeda. That's it. That's how you get reelected. Treat China like Al-Qaeda. Boy, that's a big statement, isn't it? Who killed more people, China or Al-Qaeda? China did. So therefore, anyone who has taken money from China, the Biden family, anyone who has said nice things about China, the Bidens, any person that traveled to China and negotiated the relations with them recently, China, should be called out and held accountable. This is the path forward for President Trump. He called out China early. Now, what I wish would have happened, and this is just the silliness and the short-sightedness of our government, is we should have expected China to do something like this. Now, I'm not saying it's a bioweapon, but let's play this out. Why would China cover it up and lie? Well, because China saw the damage that this virus was causing their own people. Think about this for a second. And Xi Jinping, that Machiavellian, anti-American, anti-Western, anti-Christian, atheist, evil ruler, was probably his rulers, his fellow comrades in the ruling class were like, we got to tell the WHO, we got to tell the people. And Xi Jinping said, not so fast, my friends. Wait a second. We'll stop it here. But what if we let it spread? What if the rest of the world has to deal with what we're dealing with right now? Their supply chains will become monopolized upon China. We'll be able to buy up a lot of their assets for cheap. It'll put us in a position as the global philanthropist. Let it spread. What we do know verifiably, though, is China stomped out their dissidents. China locked up doctors that tried to blow the whistle against this. And China did nothing. Why do nothing? Well, the conventional wisdom in the media is like, well, they did nothing because they didn't want to be embarrassed. You're giving them way too much moral credit. They don't have the capacity to be embarrassed. Instead, they wanted to inflict pain on the world. And they saw how infectious this was. So Xi Jinping said to everybody, scatter quickly. go all the way across the world, travel to northern Italy, travel everywhere. And places where Chinese people traveled a lot became very, very infected. And now all of a sudden, China's going on some sort of pathological PR tour across the world, trying to say, well, we're the saviors. We're sending masks. Well, yeah, because we domiciled our production into China. Anyone who does China after this, I consider to be in violation of being a patriot of the United States. You can no longer have loyalty to the United States from this point forward and continue to do business and manufacturing in China. The show's over, folks. It's done. It's over with. I put in question your loyalty to our country. And so Joe China, who still says nice things about the Chinese Communist Party, still says nice things about our quote-unquote relationship with China, he's running for the presidency. President Donald Trump, the harder and fiercer and tougher he gets on China, the more the American people will reward him. This was President George W. Bush's brilliance in getting reelected in 2004. Now, I'm not a huge fan of a lot of the policy decisions that W. Bush made as president at all. In fact, I'm a huge critic of the Medicare Part D that he passed. I'm a huge critic of his immigration policies. I'm a huge critic of the fact he never spoke at the March for Life. I'm a huge critic of the Iraq War. I'm a huge critic of a lot of the decisions George W. Bush made throughout his presidency. But I will compliment him politically, and Karl Rove was the architect of this. He said, make the left and the Democrats be on the side of appeasing Al-Qaeda. That will not resonate with middle America. And he was right. George W. Bush got reelected in 2004 because people saw him as a wartime president against a clear and present danger and against a serious evil against the West. President Donald Trump will get reelected if he frames himself as the only person who has been signaling the alarm against China. Here's the campaign ad that President Donald Trump needs to run. Show the first speech he gave as candidate. China is eating our lunch and they are ripping us off. Then say, even before that, dating back to the 1970s, Donald Trump was warning us about China. Show his original Oprah Winfrey interview. China's ripping us off. They're laughing at us. Here's the message of the campaign ad. For decades, Donald Trump has been fighting against China. For decades, Donald Trump was not bought by China, instead warning us against their evil. Coronavirus, the tens of thousands of Americans died because of China's inability to stamp out the virus. Do we really want a candidate whose son took billions of dollars from the Chinese Communist Party and another candidate who said nice things about China? Donald Trump, the only candidate who's been honest and clear about China. This advertisement has been paid for by the Make America Great Donald J. Trump for President Committee. That message would resonate. That's how Americans are feeling right now, by the way. Remember this. This is a very important lesson. Every single story out there needs a hero, a villain, and a savior. Every single story. And the story of Donald Trump's reelection is going to be the hero Trump versus the villain China. That's the story that needs to be told. If he allows Joe China, Joe Biden, whose son got $1.5 billion from the Chinese Communist Party investment fund firm through a shell corporation to an unqualified investment fund in New York a couple days after Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden flew on Air Force Two, a plane that I have flown on myself from Washington Dulles connecting to Alaska all the way to China with Chinese Communist Party diplomats, if we allow them to get away with it, we will have lost a great political opportunity to hold the left accountable for the Chinese coronavirus. You know, Joe Biden thinks he might be winning politically. I actually think Joe Biden is freaking out. Why else would Joe Biden be reaching out to the President of the United States right now asking for a conference call on how they could collaboratively work together to fight the coronavirus? The president shouldn't take that call. The president should staff out that call to Kellyanne Conway or have Jared take the call. First of all, Joe Biden would probably record that call and use it against him in the future. Second of all, why dignify that anti-American Joe Biden pro-China sycophant with a phone call in the midst of a crisis that he helped create? Joe Biden didn't help replenish the national stockpile. Joe Biden didn't help replenish our mask supply. Joe Biden didn't help bring manufacturing jobs back. Joe Biden didn't help hold China accountable for their cybersecurity, trade infringement, copyright infringement. Any politician that isn't willing to shut down trade with China and put sanctions on them would be the same as saying we shouldn't hold Al-Qaeda accountable after 9/11. It's It's like saying after Pearl Harbor, oh yeah, those Japanese, maybe we should keep on buying stuff from them. Seriously, that's the level that we're at right now. And I'm not saying that China created the virus, but it did come from China and they lied about it and they could have contained it. And they paid off their proxy at the World Health Organization with that total and complete hack. So Joe China, you got a lot of answers, man. And you are going to face an American people that is going to be filled with righteous indignation. And Donald Trump has been an unbelievable president for this time. And my advice to him and his campaign is it's time to treat this like a war. You got generals on TV every single day saying we're at war. We're calling it an invisible enemy. We're spending money like it's World War II. We're deploying naval ships to LA and Los Angeles. We got the National Guard in the streets. We got the Army Corps of Engineers building hospitals. Then who the heck is the enemy besides the virus? It's China. Now, I'm not saying launch Tomahawk missiles to Shanghai, and I'm not saying put SEAL Team 6 into Wuhan, but I'm saying start treating them like the enemy because they're treating us like the enemy. And they are laughing at us as they're sending masks to our own country, saying, oh, now they're going to have to wear the masks and go through this. We are the greatest force for good in the history of the world. Are we going to take this sitting down? Or are we going to stand up and punch back twice as hard? Crippling sanctions. And I'm talking about the Chinese Communist Party leaders, not the Chinese Communist Party people. Recognize Taiwan as a sovereign country. Mention Tiananmen Square. Fund Voice of America with multi-billion dollars. And run counter-interference propaganda against the Chinese Communist Party straight to the Chinese people. Help start a people-centered revolution against Xi Jinping. And any tech company that helps the Chinese Communist Party should be shut down immediately. And I'm talking to you, Google. I'm talking to you, Facebook. I'm talking to you, Amazon. I'm talking to any single one of you anti-American tech companies like Zoom. And I got a whole topic on Zoom right now that dares work with these tyrants. Blood on your hands. No mercy, no prisoners, no quarter. And to reinforce this, Peter Navarro has been saying this and his basic hostility towards China. And look, President Trump goes up and he says, Xi Jinping and I have a great relationship. That's what he's saying publicly. And make no mistake, President Donald Trump is a multidimensional chess player here, okay? This is a guy who said he wants the best for Iran, and then the next day he takes out Qasem Soleimani. So what President Trump says publicly, I totally support, because he knows a lot more than we do about the Chinese intelligence reports. And he called the Chinese virus very early and very often. So don't discount the multidimensional chess that President Donald Trump is playing towards China, that is playing towards Xi Jinping, because he knows where the cards are. Now, I want to play some tape from Peter Navarro, who has been more hawkish towards China. Let's play the tape from Peter Navarro. Play tape.
One of the things that this crisis has taught us, sir, is that we are dangerously over-dependent on a global supply chain. For our medicines, like penicillin, our medical supplies, like masks, and our medical equipment, like ventilators. We have right now, as we speak, over 50 countries have already imposed some forms of export restrictions in their country against the rest of the world. And what we're learning from that is that no matter how many treaties you have, no matter how many alliances, no matter how many phone calls, when push comes to shove, you run the risk as a nation of not having what you need. And if there's any vindication of the president's Buy American, secure borders, and a strong manufacturing base philosophy, strategy, and belief, it is this crisis, because it underscores everything that we see there. So the Buy American order, which is going through process, would do a couple things. It would simply say, not during this crisis, because we don't want to disrupt anything. I want to be really clear about that. But going forward, after this is over, the VA, DOD, HHS, and this government buys American for essential medicines, our medical countermeasures, and the medical supplies and equipment we need. At the same time, it will deregulate so we can get the FDA and EPA to facilitate domestic manufacturing and then innovate. Because the key here is having advanced manufacturing on U.S. soil that can leapfrog other countries, so we don't have to worry about competing against cheap sweatshop labor, lax environmental regulations, different tax regimes and the massive subsidies of foreign governments who are actually directly attacking our industrial base.
So there's Peter Navarro's great piece of focus on China's hold on manufacturing. One other thing I want to talk about. Earlier I said shout out to Tucker Carlson when I was talking about the money to illegals. But here's really the main focus. The Department of Homeland Security announced it's suspending an increase in the H-2B guest worker visa just hours after Fox News host Tucker Carlson ripped the department for importing foreign nationals amid an economic crisis. This is a huge win for Tucker. Amen. God bless Tucker Carlson for bringing attention to that. So needed. So important. I mentioned earlier Zoom video conferencing. There is evidence and information that on occasion they send encryption keys and chunks of data to China. Academics found in their tests of the software. Everyone right now stop using Zoom, publicly condemn them. They should be kicked out of our country for doing this. And they are now in my book of anti-American utilities. Anyone who deals with China like this and has numerous back connections to China, in my opinion, now deals with the enemy. It's that simple. Time to get tough. We got to get tough with these companies that have been exploiting us. And by the way, if you're using Zoom for anything quasi-confidential, what's to say that the CCP is not recording that, analyzing it, mining it, and using it against our own citizenry? See, it's time we start treating China like the enemy that they are. And guess what? The presumptive nominee of the Democrat Party just happens to be bought and paid for by the Chinese Communist Party. It'd be one thing if Joe China was actually tough on China. It'd be one thing if they would have nominated that Ohio guy, Congressman Tim Ryan. He was actually pretty good on China, I gotta say. Or if they would have nominated Sherrod Brown. Joe Biden is the wrong person to be able to go up against China. And you're going to be hearing a lot more of that here on The Charlie Kirk Show. So anyway, everybody, great show. Again, this was brought to us by netsuite.com/Kirk, netsuite.com/Kirk. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Your questions, comments, and concerns. It's been quite a week. There's going to be another one coming up, and we have another AMA coming up, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Email us your questions, and if you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Get involved. Start a chapter. We got events coming up on the horizon. Chip in some money. We need your help. tpusa.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. And again, make sure you guys are subscribed to The Charlie Kirk Show. Type in Charlie Kirk Show, your podcast provider, and hit that beautiful purple subscribe button. And for Spotify people, you press follow. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Again, it's freedom@charliekirk.com. God bless you. God bless America. We are going to bounce back stronger than ever before. Stay focused. Stay optimistic. We are going to win, but never forget who did this to us. Thanks so much, and God bless. From the creators of Cold Case Files and PD Stories come the next great true crime podcast, I Survived. Every week, I Survive presents chilling first-person accounts from people who overcame deadly situations, allowing the survivors to describe the events as they unfolded and how they made it out alive. If you love true crime, you are going to love I Survived. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, and many other podcast apps so you can get new episodes every week.